Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL podcast for round 23, 2016. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who this week caused controversy with his book week costume. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
Oh, g'day, Michael. They said dress up as your favourite book character or hero.
Yep.
And I thought Travis Cloak.
Okay. Oh.
And what's my favourite photo of Travis Cloak? It's him in the nude. That was a new idea. And so I went to the school as Cloaky.
And so how did they...
Nude it up.
Did you wear a glove?
I had a glove
on,
yeah. It was you need grip on the old...
And did you get like a big eagle tattoo on your back?
Yeah, of course, mate. I went the whole hog. Yeah. I rocked up on a Harley.
Oh, perfect.
I was naked. Uh-huh. I had my dog... what's the dog's name? Keith?
Bruce.
Butcher? Bruce.
Bruce, the dog,
I had Bruce with me. I had the whole thing and everyone got all upset about it.
Your primary schools can get a bit weird like that, can't they?
Oh, fuck. You rock up naked to one of them.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, everyone in the neighbourhood knows about you.
But my understanding is that you still wore blackface, okay? Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I'm sure Trav would have anyway.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
No. I mean, you don't have any. Why are you in blackface now?
It's the way I get about.
Yeah, okay.
It was a big win.
Well, it's to show you heroes and stuff.
I say love as in the opposite, but the idea that anybody could possibly do that, when you can actually go to a shop and well, one of her defences was the parent who put their child in blackface, as Nick Nat said that...
Well, people wouldn't recognise it.
Yeah. When you can actually go to an Eagle shop and get a Nick Nat wig, like that people wear at
which
the
he
ground.
Had on. I think pretty much you wouldn't go, which West Coast player is that?
Yeah.
Is that Mark Lacroix?
Yeah.
With black dreadlocks? You go, no. It's Nick Nat Nui.
Absolutely.
Like, it's pretty
incredible.
Fucking obvious. And you've got his number on the back of your jumper.
Yeah. And when people say, hey, who are you? I'm Nick Nat Nui. How hard is that?
Yeah. Anyway. But also that he won. He won the school's dress-up competition. So the school's gone, all right, it's racist, but well done.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to you and your mum. And your mum put it on Facebook.
Yeah, at least you're going to get us in the papers.
Yeah, exactly. We're pumped up. You know what? I reckon if they have a high school book week, I would go as Ricky Nixon.
Yes, of course.
Because not only is he an author, but he loves that age group.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's perfect. Win-win.
I imagine it's only at a girl's school. You wouldn't show up at a co-ed school.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah. Private girl school.
Yeah. Hot chicks.
You're 10.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who stitched you up? You were just doing the right thing. You were just hanging out in a hotel with a 16-year-old and then they do the wrong thing and stitch you right up.
It was a study tour, Adam. Yeah. I've told you that many times. Now we're going to do our plugs. We got our live show coming up on Sunday, September
it's going to be massive.
4 at 4 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe on the corner of Little Collins.
Little Collins and Exhibition Street in the city.
Upstairs there, going to be chock-a-block. Tickets are flying off the shelf.
They are. They actually genuinely are.
Yeah, and our special guests will be Brendan Favola and Mark Bummer Thompson.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun afternoon. We're going to have another comedian with us, TBA.
Yeah, he's very funny, that guy.
Yeah.
I bought Feb's book this week.
Oh.
So I'm looking forward to knuckling down and reading that.
How's it going?
Well, I haven't started yet. Started.
And when will you start?
No, I'll get onto it. I mean, I've just got to go and buy the crayons. Bingo! Bingo!
Hey, don't bring that up. He's a special guest on our podcast.
I know. The number of times we've had a guest on and gone, gee, I hope they don't listen to the back catalogue.
Yeah, I know. There is that, yeah. we could potentially never have Travis Cloak on this show.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Well, he may not be playing anymore, so what's the point?
Yeah, that's
we only talk to players. And also we have...
But hang on, let's reiterate the details. It's at the European Beer Cafe next Sunday. There's no finals on. There's no footy on.
What are you going to do?
Fucking disgrace.
Yeah.
4 p.m., come along, Sunday afternoon, $10 tickets. What more do you want?
Yeah, you can find tickets at trybooking.com. Type in Junk Time AFL Podcast. Yeah.
Junk Time, one word, two.
And also, there will be tickets at the door as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so the ones at the website are, to get an idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
Whether we need to put on two or three extra shows.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, just to know how long it could go, we need to, if we need to bring in another, stand.
Yes, yes. Or move into another. I mean, the MCG and Etihad will be free.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. That many if we tickets. Have to, we will.
And also we have our delightful merch, which I still haven't actually seen or held in my hands.
Oh, yeah, I should have brought that over today, shouldn't I, at Wayne Jackson Studios.
We have our two stubby holders. Again, $10. Well, I'll go through that again. Junktime.bigcartel.com. You can get them. Now, what are the two stubby holders we
they
have?
They are I Heart the Footbridge.
Yep.
Who doesn't love that?
Everyone.
And also, it's Gatorade Bukkake time.
Oh, awesome.
And people love that.
Yes.
Because it's a conversation starter.
Yes.
As we've always said.
Yes.
And it's so a, it's $10 for one, $17 for both. Obviously, the $8 postage fee, we can't help that.
That's Australia Post.
It's like ripping us apart.
Yeah, so as we have suggested, if the postman, when he does come over and deliver it,
yeah.
give him a little... crack around the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. You show him who's boss.
It's a little helmet punch.
Take it out on him. Yeah, a little helmet punch. Yeah. Yeah.
Just give him some. And also, that will be available at our live show. So if you're not sure about it, you're holding off, they will be available on the day, $10 each. Well, you can't go wrong. You can put your, if you buy beer at the European Beer Cafe, you can slip it into your stubby holder.
Straight away.
And then when you throw them at us, it's going to be
softer.
A little bit softer.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Now, Adam, we have a very special guest in Wayne Jackson Studios today. She's back for the second time. Second time guest. Last time she was here for the Hawks Round Table in after the grand final of 2014, which I'm sure you probably listened to quite a lot.
I have it on high rotation.
Yep.
You know what? I've never listened to that show. It made me so fucking sick that I could never listen to it. So, Emma Race, thank you so much.
Emma Race.
For joining us back in Wayne Jackson Studios.
It was Hawthorne Porn is what it was.
Hawthorne.
Pawn Thorn.
So the game today finished about an hour and a half ago.
Now, you guys were both there. You both assholes are both at that game.
We were there, and we did win by a point in the end, so we secured top four. And
a draw would have done it as well, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sickens me.
I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm so glad that we won, not only to keep... It would have been embarrassing to be two games clear and then drop to seventh. That would have been embarrassing, but also...
Oh, please, just talk to a North Melbourne supporter.
Yeah, but...
they'll get you through it.
But then the absolute fucking barrage we would have copped from Adam when we came in here, that was actually probably greater relief.
I'm such an emotional supporter that I actually don't think you would have wanted me to turn up to Wayne Jackson Studio if we hadn't have won.
Mm-hmm.
I would have crawled in and, like, lay on the floor like it was the worst thing that's ever happened, which... apparently it's not, and I live with a Carlton supporter, so every time I lament our form after a loss,
I would have been wrapped.
He actually just hates me much more.
I've never supported Collingwood like that before. Like
so
actual,
did you watch it yourself?
Yeah, I did. Actual genuine support when Treloar kicked that goal. I was like, oh, this is the fucking greatest. And then some guy you've plucked from Melbourne who hasn't played a game all season kicks a goal from inside the fucking square.
Takes that square hat and puts it through.
It was unbelievable. You know who hated that even more than you was Gil McLaughlin.
Oh. Fuck.
And he did
just
it.
Don't need that.
And he did it with about, it was about 7 seconds after the Treloar goal.
I know.
He actually didn't look like he knew it had gone through.
Mm. I know. His celebration was awful.
He stood there for a while and I thought, is that he doesn't believe that he can do it? Like, if it's one of our stand operators, if it's Jack Gunston, for example, he's already celebrating before gone through and asking for a salary increase.
Well maybe because he's played with Melbourne. Well, never heard that roar before. He's like, what the fuck happened? It's been a terrorist act. Oh, my God, let's get out of here. What's going on?
I got a message from someone. I didn't watch the interviews after the game, but he said he'd played, it was his third win in 20 games.
Oh,
so he would be unfamiliar with the process. Yeah,
that's sad. He's never been in a Bukkake.
We don't do it. Hawthorn doesn't do it.
Oh, you're too good
we
for
don't,
it.
Yeah,
no, they don't do it. They did tip water on him. I saw that, and that's very unusual. They saved the Gatorade.
That's right.
Why do they not? They're too good
for
it.
I think we talked
too
about
many
it a
wins.
Little
too sticky. Too many wins.
Yeah, too many wins.
Too much,
too much Gatorade being wasted.
I think it's a Clarko demand. Yeah,
I think it's an all-in. You know, the players have to clean up and pick up all the rubbish, and they sweep it out afterwards, and so it's just too difficult.
No, that's always a nice try. The footy clubs, like suburban teams, they always try and have like a working bee or a schedule. So it's your week to kind of clean up, and no one fucking does. And then the poor 85-year-old man who's been there for 60 years, he walks around with
what amuses me? Speaking of the drinks they have, when you're watching the coverage and you see, you know how they have the water that's in like a little football? And it just always amuses me that Clarko's drinking from that because... Have you seen it?
I haven't seen that. Is it a novelty water bottle?
Oh, I think they just supply them to the coaches. So it's in the coaches' box and it's like a water bottle that's shaped like a footy. And you just think, Clarko wouldn't have chosen that.
Really?
Yeah, he would hate that. And so they're having a sip, and it's like a really, you've got to have a big fat grip on it Because it's a football
Can
shirt.
Can you ask Bomber if he had a little lunchbox for all his snacks and sandwiches in a little shape of a football?
Well, we want to provide him next week. We're hoping to provide him with a salad sandwich during the show, just to make him feel comfortable.
It would have been interesting when he was at Essendon, whether he had a Geelong little lunchbox, or if he actually had a Bomber's
lunch.
Like a little kid,
yeah.
Emma, you are a superstar of the podcasting world. Mm. You only started the Outer Sanctum this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then nearly brought down the game of Australian rules football.
Absolutely.
With your revelations.
I don't think we brought down the game. I think we kind of raised the bar for the game. But we are...
Well, that is true.
We had it. We had a crack. We didn't mean to. Like, I should really... It's very accidental hero status.
Yep.
And people now treat us like the high sparrow. So, you know, if you missed it, because I don't know how many people who listen to Junk Time also listen to the Outer Sanctum, but...
Oh, there's a huge crossover.
It would be a massive crossover, yeah. I'm sure.
We've broken a lot of stories.
I reckon there would be, yeah.
I think people who are into footy listen to footy podcast.
Yeah, probably.
And we're very supportive of you guys. We always plug you.
Yeah, and we're always plugging you too, but you wouldn't know because you don't listen to anyone else's podcast.
No, we do all the time.
So, yeah, it was really interesting. We were only a couple of weeks in, and then... yeah, we just happened to talk about what happened at the Big Freeze and some stuff that was said about Caroline Wilson. And we kind of brought the shitstorm and then
we
got everyone talking about it.
Were you disappointed that it took the fun out of motor neuron disease? I mean...
No, no, you were.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was having a ball.
I felt pretty bad for Neil, actually. I felt like it had... But, you know, we didn't say it. We were just talking about what someone else had said. So,
yeah, and you're well within your rights to say that.
Totally. And the massive thing was that we got to go and have breakfast at Caroline Wilson's house, which was kind of an
extraordinary
situation.
How was that? Did she have a big arrow on the wall?
A big arrow? No. She must have it stashed. But she was pretty sweet. She let my sister park her car in her driveway, and my sister's car's got, like, 3 Pete stickers all over it. All over it. And I thought, there's your next story.
So, typical Hawthorn.
That was a great interview. So I just want to go back to the initial broadcast. So did you hear that live?
No, because we don't listen to Triple M.
Yeah.
And I don't. Yeah, I don't think any of us do, actually.
You're like Richmond. You boycotted them.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, good.
From the get-go. But, no, we saw it. It was this tiny little article that was written on MSN. And
oh, really?
Yeah, and so my sister saw it. Like, it sort of happened on the Sunday, I think. Well, it was the Monday, right?
Yeah.
On Monday,
yeah.
She saw it on the Tuesday, this little article. And I actually had read a couple of tweets about something. There was someone that was tweeting about it.
So I
was piecing it together and didn't quite work it out, and then she sent us the article and we all went, oh yeah, that makes sense, that's what that was. But have we missed this? Did people talk about it already?
That's incredible, the fact that it was picked up by a news broadcaster, so to speak, and then no one kind of capitalised on that.
And what was weird is there was lots of weird things that happened that week that we went with it, and then so we do the podcast on a Thursday, and we were at that stage releasing it on a Friday morning. By Friday night, it was getting some traction. Saturday, it just went
exploded.
Off. Like, it just exploded. And to live through something like that exploding, you know, on your Twitter feed, our phones were just going crazy.
Really?
Like, we couldn't keep up with what was happening. And
so who was getting in contact with you?
Well, it wasn't. So there's six of us, and we all kind of divvy up the duties. And because we just started this on a whim and it was just a bit of fun, we didn't have any infrastructure to kind of handle something like that happening.
You had to get in Max Markson.
Yeah, exactly. So we were kind of just divvying up who was going to do shifts on Twitter, responding to questions and media inquiries. And
what sort of questions were you getting early on?
People wanted to interview us, and some people wanted to have a go at us, and a couple of people told us to butt out and that we had no place talking about the game, we had no place being women, get back into the kitchen.
Okay, so you're told not to be a woman anymore?
Yeah, don't be a woman, don't be a woman talking about football. No, there wasn't actually that much hate. There was just a lot of people going like, oh man, we heard that, we couldn't believe it.
Yeah, right.
We didn't know anyone else had heard it as well. And and then it just started this massive debate, which just the ripples of it continue and they're just ongoing, and which is great because I think it's changed the discourse. And I guess the best thing for us is it really just made us feel like we had a place in doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because we've all grown up massive, massive football fans. I mean, Chambo, you know that I live and breathe Hawthorn.
You're fourth or fifth generation, aren't you?
Yeah, fifth generation, and my kids, my kids are fifth generation, I'm fourth generation, and I know, it's been a Good life, Adam.
And maybe I'll just point out that Michael did wear a Hawthorn jumper at Emma's wedding.
Now, this is a thing, right? So,
how did that go for you, Chamber?
So this is the thing. So a friend of the show, Declan Fay as well, the bride requested us to bring our Hawthorn jumpers, okay? This one's just us showing up. You've made the claim a few times we were ordered at a wedding as if, like, I showed up to the church and
you would have had it on anyway. It just happened that Emma had to ask
and
for it.
And Hawthorn had a titanic struggle with Carlton that weekend.
Yep.
Fev hit the post late in the game.
We should have won that.
Yeah. And Emma kind of thought it would be kind of fun, you know, her loving husband, if she could just have a bit of a dig within hours of marriage.
Have we won the grand final the year before?
Yeah, so it was 2009.
Kind of fresh. Yeah. No, like, they were fresh jumpers.
Yeah.
Didn't you wear those jumpers once to a Hawthorn celebration and someone patted you on the back and said, great
game? Yeah. We wore, again with Declan, we rocked up to the 08 dinner. And so we're sitting there, we showed up, we wore our black pants, white shirt, tie, and put our jumpers over the top because we thought it'd be like, he rented a party! And we walk in at crowd and it's like actually quite subdued. And then the players, we realised we were wearing black pants, white shirt, tie, and the jumper over the top.
So you were like those little kids who go to the footy dressed up as their hero.
I had the word sewer written on the back of my jumper. And we're walking around and we're going, do you get the feeling people are looking at us a bit funny? And then
I so wish he'd been wearing a moon boot as well.
Like crutches like Crody. And then Jeff Kennett came over and patted us on the back and said, good work on the year, boys. We said, you're president of the club, you should know. You should know these unfit bastards.
You knew exactly who you were. That's brilliant. I love it.
That's very funny. And you know what I remember as well? We went to the Melbourne Fringe Festival was on. I think it was like one of the final nights. We went to like a fringe venue, you know, a bar there.
Yeah, in North Melbourne.
Somewhere like that, yeah. And we walked in our footy jumpers, I was talking to a few friends, and eventually someone came up to Declan and said, oh, thank God, it's just you. And he's like, what are you talking about? He said, oh, these people were walking around saying there was these footy guys had come in. They were frightened they were going to start fights.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. What you didn't tell is the part B of that story is that, you did put on the footy jumpers at my wedding, and up until that point you were doing quite well with the ladies. And somehow
I fell apart.
They put on the footy jumpers and the footy jumpers cock-blocked them.
That's right.
And then the girls went home with other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that is fucking great.
Yeah. I don't know what Jennifer Hawkins is up to now, but
she still had a great time.
Now, we were talking about book week before. You have a one child in primary school, grade prep.
And two still annoying me at home.
Yeah. So did she – is book week countrywide?
Everyone does book week because there's books everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Books do not discriminate.
Okay, that's good.
She didn't go in blackface.
Oh, fuck.
What kind of mother are you?
Yeah. My favourite dress-up is she got like last year in prep, they had to go as a letter, and she got the letter P, and I was begging her to go as Paul Puopolo. And she actually did.
She did.
Yeah, she
She's
did.
She's same
for
height.
Me. She loves it. And there's some kids at her class, so she now has a 28. There was actually, she had a 23 on her jumper, and this is my one beef with Hawthorn, and I only have one.
Is it Tim O'Brien?
She loved Timmy O'Brien, but when she had the 23 and then Buddy left, there should have been a buyback scheme.
Yeah.
And I actually think that all clubs should have it. But what we did is we just bought an 8 and ironed it over the top of the 3. So a poppy fan.
Okay.
Yeah, from big things, little things grow.
That's what I
like to call it.
Very thick 3/8.
I think a lot of people were staying at the time. You just took off the 2 and put a 3. And so you got Cyril. Because I imagine
But you
Cyril...
can't take the numbers off now, Chamber.
Oh, really?
That's not like back in the day.
Oh, I'm old school. I just find a text of it before the grand final and write the name on it.
Do you still ask for autographs?
No, you get the selfie now.
A selfie, okay.
You get the selfie,
fair enough.
Yeah, if I'm hanging out with Carlton players, I'll get a selfie.
It'll all be photos now. I wonder the ratio photo to autograph.
Oh, I think autographs are dead.
I think they are too. And so they should be. They serve absolutely no purpose. You can't usually understand them. What does it prove?
Oh,
it proves nothing. I've forged some before on jumpers and stuff.
I've sold a lot of jumpers that have fake autographs on them.
Oh, you're big on the fake memory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I make a lot of cash off that.
You sell a lot of those GWS four-peats. I don't think they're...
people are paying for them.
I don't think they're real.
I remember, I reckon I was about 10 and I got my cousin or mum's cousin worked with a Carlton player who was a school teacher, and he got me, remember those little autograph books?
They're about A6,
maybe, those little tiny ones with
the
gold
mottled
pages.
A mottled kind of a fake leather looking cover and then the gold edging.
Oh, I would have one in my cupboard here.
Yeah.
Can I go look for it?
Do you want me to sign it?
Yeah, go get it.
You talk and I'll see who I've got in it.
So he She got, I think it was Frank Marchesani, I think, a Carlton player. Yeah. And then I got it handed to me and I wasn't expecting it. And I had all the Carlton players from around the 83, 84 era. So I was about 10 and all their autographs. And that was, not even meeting them, was the greatest moment.
Just looking at it.
In my life. Yeah, yeah, just trying to work out whose was what and all that kind of stuff.
I get that. I have a very old jumper, and maybe it's because it goes along with the era. Like, I have a very old jumper, a woolen jumper with a big brown collar that was my original Hawthorn jumper.
How shit are those woolen jumpers? How scratchy are they?
So scratchy.
I don't know how they wore them, especially when it rained.
They were just
extra 6 kilos.
And, yeah, stinking, sweaty.
Well, yeah, stink
and
of wool.
And what
it's like
was
a high school jumper.
Why the collar? Is it because they had to go through the MCC to get
in? Yeah, absolutely. It's formal. Yeah, you can't get in.
Mine's signed by, I've got Gary Buchanan, Chris Langford. Okay. Chris Mew, I reckon he's going to have Chris Mew. I can hear him digging around in there for this autograph book. I bet you it's got Peter Curran and Chris Mew in it.
Yeah, I can't believe he's got his own little stash at Wayne Jackson Studios. This is weird, Michael.
It's a very strange storage unit. He's inflating the Cyril Rioli doll as we speak.
So are your kids playing, or is your eldest playing footy down at Auskick?
They did Auskick for a year, and I've got to lure them back in because now that women's game, they didn't get bored. They just had other things to do.
Were they on the juice?
I have been putting they've taken a year off like the Essendon players.
Yeah, cool, yeah.
They have too many juice boxes.
No, they're like the two Collingwood players. They were down at St Kilda Fest. And some of their whiz fizz was cut with clenbuterol.
Exactly.
So they're not allowed to play anymore.
But I put Katie Brennan and Meg Hutchins in front of them constantly and talk about the women's game. And I talk about when you grow up, yes, you can be an AFL player because I've got three daughters.
Yeah.
And so this year has been massive and really significant for me and for my kids because up until this point, like, I never knew my place in football. I didn't have brothers. I didn't even have a football at home. I wasn't taught how to kick. I fell in love with the game and never knew how to have a place in it. I remember being 8 and sending a letter to Hawthorn saying, can I run water? And they wrote back and said, no, but thanks for your letter.
That's cool. Why'd they say no?
I don't know. I would have been not creepy at all having an 8-year-old girl on the bench running water.
Well,
that's a bit weird. Anyway, bit of a weird.
But no, that's weird. There's women doing that now. Like, why?
Yeah. She was 8, Adam.
I was 8.
Like, what's
the
point? You can get out. You can get off the ground.
1983. It wasn't that progressive.
Yeah, okay.
But so now I get to say to them, and I think this is the same for, fathers and with daughters who now can say, yeah, you can play at the highest level.
Yeah, that's great.
It's really exciting. So I'll be taking the kids to see that. You keep saying there's no footy next weekend. There is actually a massive game next week. It's the last exhibition game of the women, and it's at the Witten Oval, and it's Melbourne against Western Bulldogs, which I think are going to be the traditional rivals when
the
season kicks off in February. So we'll be at that, and all of the Outer Sanctum girls will be there, and we're all going to take our kids.
And do you have a team that you're, because Hawthorn didn't get a women's team, do you have a team that you're associated with? You going the Doggies?
I'm struggling. Well, I like that you say you're going the Doggies, right? I love Katie Brennan.
Yeah.
Like, I love watching her play, and we had her on the show, and, I just thought she's amazing and fell in love with her. Then my husband reminded me that he actually does go for Carlton and there is a Carlton women's team.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you go for Carlton.
But what about my daughters who I'm trying to make Doggies?
Yeah, you're going to confuse them, aren't you?
It's a bit mean.
Yeah.
It's a bit mean. But so I don't know. I really don't know how I'm going to choose it. Have you chosen one, Chambo?
No. I haven't looked too in-depth into it quite yet. I'm just taking it one week
at a time.
Yeah. Now, you just returned. You can't find your autograph book?
No, I've got a feeling. I've got it actually kind of storage outside in the balcony covered up. So I think it might be in there.
The balcony of Wayne Jackson Studios.
Wayne Jackson Studios.
Do you reckon there's a Chris Mew in there?
I did get a Chris Mew. I remember going down to Glenfree after the 91 grand final and I had a football there and Chris Mew signed that and Aaron Pritchard signed that.
Yep, great.
Yeah. So
either of the Deer brothers?
You would have had Paul Deer,
Paul Deer would have been playing that day. I remember I only got the two that time, yeah.
Okay.
But I reckon I'd have a Langford, yeah. I remember there was a Gary Buchanan in there and I've got Dermot Brereton, I reckon, 4 or 5 times.
He remembers that too.
Yeah, I know we go way back.
When you ask Carlton players if you can take a selfie, does a little part of you die? Are you a little bit embarrassed for yourself?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. But the one that I – and it wasn't a selfie. I did a gig for the Blues a couple of years ago. They had a comedy day just for the club. And I was on stage with Juddy. And so that's one of my favourite photos. It's just me – not that I took it, but it was with – with Juddy.
Oh, so that's an awesome photo.
Yeah, I love
it. That's because someone else took it.
Yeah, absolutely.
A selfie is so embarrassing.
Yeah, totally. But I'm still happy to get one. Like, we got the photo with Ruffy after the...
Yeah, yeah.
And that was exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's something I treasure.
Yeah.
Treasure. Yeah. You know, I found it interesting, just kind of rummaging around trying to find the autograph book. It's quite interesting listening to the podcast going on when you're not
good.
Part of it. And yeah, you guys did a good job.
I thought
thanks, mate.
Died when he left the...
It kind of fell apart.
You left me here with old bug lugs.
But there's been some massive retirements this week. Are we saddened? Are we saddened to see the back of Michael Ferrito? Is that what we're all upset about?
I like saying Ferrito.
Yeah? Jay Schultz, he's been cut by the Port Adelaide... By the power?
Ferrito felt very bad by the fact he requested from the club just one more fight with Luke Hodge.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted. That's how he wanted to go. He's actually at the game today, just swinging over the ground.
Well, that's why they announced it. They just wanted Melbourne-based players to come down and punch Ferrito in the face one more time.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have another opportunity.
Do you see an issue in retiring four players at the same time for the Kangaroos? If four people retire on the same day and they each get a two-person chair, there's only six people to clap them off the ground?
Oh, yeah.
That's a very good point. And that's counting the whole crowd as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's also allocating two people to clap off Boomer.
They haven't thought that through, have they?
Nah. The North supporters didn't really turn out in their droves. I thought they were. I had a whole conspiracy that they were announcing these four retirees so that they'd get a packed house for their last home and away game. Like six people, wasn't it?
Yeah, I forgot they played.
Well, that was part of the reasoning why they gave that. Why they did the retirements this week? That they said that that could possibly be their final game in Melbourne, and so they wanted people to be able to say goodbye properly.
Yeah, and they get the takings from the gate.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that a bit sad though to say, hey, we're probably not going to win the first round,
dude?
We're not going to beat Adelaide, so how about? And they didn't think it was Adelaide at the time, but. How about everybody come down?
It's so hurtful.
It's sad.
Could you imagine saying that? The players have now clearly heard them say that. They've said our finals window is shut. It's only closed the door on finals.
It's all over.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? How do you put these boys in an ice bath after the last game?
Totally. They couldn't
get them ready to play again.
I was shattered that they retired Boomer Harvey. I just bought some, loaded up on some Boomer 450 merch. I was really, and also some Ferrito 450 merch. Like, I was in for the long haul and they fucking let me down. Like, fuck you, North Melbourne.
It is pretty fascinating, though, that they seem to be admitting we're not going to progress any further.
Yeah, we're going to lose
Brayshaw,
the first week.
Brayshaw did also come out and say that they've overachieved.
Everyone's having a crack.
How did they overachieve? They got to two prelims.
Well, they made two prelims from the bottom half of the which is always admirable.
Yeah, and one of the games they played was against Richmond, so that doesn't count.
Would you call that overachieving, Michael? I'm not asking you because you go for Carlton.
I think the way that North, where they finish and how everyone probably thinks that they would generally go.
No one expect them to get to the end.
Trying to get out. The last 2 years, I think people will be surprised that North made the prelim.
The first half of this season, people were saying they were going to finish top four.
Yes. Well, were they though?
They were really good.
Well, they were 10-1, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Like,
they were 9-0.
You have to kind of try hard to not make the top four.
And yeah, they're playing some shit sides.
But still, you got their wins on the board.
Yeah, they had Brisbane six times. Like, that is, it's a loaded fixture.
So, Brayshaw did come out. Okay, so.
What did he say?
He said that it's something about 5 years. So, it's not him.
Okay.
5 year focus forced North's reset. Mm. So, I suppose they go, okay, our windows.
Hang on, can we just quickly talk about, is it a reset or a rebuild? Like, what's the fucking difference? Is a reset just supposed to make the fans feel a little bit easier about it? Because Carlton's currently in a reset.
It's not as harsh a word as a rebuild.
I thought you were in a rebuild.
Oh, fuck, we're doing everything. No, but every time Brendan Bolton, and I know you guys love him, but every time he gets up there, he talks about the little sprouts and stuff. And you go, yeah, but the little sprouts were fucking terrible against Essendon yesterday. So how about you stop talking about that?
I think a rebuild happens off the field and a reset happens
on the field. On the field, okay. And what a Frio currently, and they beat the Western Bulldogs, which didn't matter for the Doggies.
They're just so stinky.
Are they in a rebuild or a reset? Or didn't Ross Lyon say they're in a rewire?
Ross Lyon said they have maybe a four-year rebuild. Here we go.
4 years?
Fremantle coach Ross Lyon has made the astonishing claim. Astonishing.
Can you do it in a Ross Lyon voice, please?
He can.
It could take 4 years to get the Dockers back into finals contention. Really? Do you really think that, Ross? You said... Well, we don't really know exactly where we're at. It's a movable feast. We understand we're rebuilding is on the agenda. Now, excuse me, I'm just gonna shove this cunt in the neck.
Do you reckon it's on the agenda? Do you reckon they have an agenda? And it's like, look out for the boys on Mad Monday.
Yeah.
You know, cheer Pavlov.
Tweet for the third time ever.
Tweet for the third time in 5 years. Steer clear
of methadone.
Yeah.
Hey, now Pav's retired, is he actually going to open a Pav store? Because that would make me so happy.
That would make us happy.
Like, he would clean up in the West with a Pav store. Yeah. People love a Pav from
Pav. That's not a bad idea.
Great name, Super Pav, right there.
Oh.
Get trademark, fucking Pav. Trademark, Matthew.
Sometimes it's the easiest ideas.
What will Pav do?
Stock shelves, the tall ones.
Yeah. Well, speaking of retirements, what about Justin Lepich? Is he dead in the water? Is it all over?
I feel like he's known that, and I feel like he's got the look of someone who's been on summer program at school. Like, you know, when the teachers go, like, it's summer program today. Just everyone colour in and watch. We're going to put on the DVD. I feel like he's been doing that for the last couple of weeks.
It'd be incredibly depressing
for
the last, two or three months when people have been literally saying to your face at press conferences.
Kind of, you're going to be unemployed.
Yeah, and you think, I mean, you think of the money that he'd be making, and then you go, what's he go back to? But also, it's like, imagine people walking into a shop and just going, when are you going to lose a job? Like, do you do that to anyone?
But also,
I do.
Do you?
I do it at pubs and stuff.
Only in sport. Yeah, only in sport and showbiz, maybe. Like, they kind of suggest.
Politics.
That's true.
They love doing that in politics.
Yeah, they do.
When are you going to resign?
But do you know what I'd say? Like, in politics, maybe this is too big a sweeping statement, but I never feel like it's just the coach's fault. Like, I really don't.
Massively.
If you're going to sack him, sack, like, 10 other people as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Really, like, or the sticky, just go with it for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, I think the classic actually is Rats. I think Rats should have stayed at Carlton.
Oh.
120%.
Oh, I thought Malthouse was pretty good when you look back at his era. Like, he had a mini dynasty going on.
Absolutely.
So I think they were probably a bit rash getting rid of Malthouse is probably what you're getting at.
Yeah, maybe.
But you look at, like, teams that stick it out because they had a lot of injuries. They're playing a very young team, Brisbane. Geelong in 06, when they lost. When they had a bit of a down year and there was almost like, should we get rid of Bomber Thompson?
Yeah, they did a kind of inquiry.
Full review,
the club,
yeah. They had some accounting companies come in. Mm. They had, you know, H&R Block. Yeah. H&R Block came in.
Catman joined the board.
Yeah, exactly. And so they had that in and then they stuck with it and they win, you know, they win three flags on the back of it.
Didn't Jeff Kennett call for Clarko's head on the like round one 2013 or something?
Yeah,
no.
I think you might be right.
I think you're right.
12 or 13, yeah.
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 And also, Bomber Thompson ended up being, if I remember correctly, the longest serving coach to win a premiership. So does that make sense? So he was there for 8 or 9 years.
Before he won. Yeah, because he started in 99, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they won in 07.
So, yeah, stick around, you know.
Well, also, just like you said, Em, you've got to look at what's going on around the club. And obviously, Lepich is not an awful coach, but they just didn't have the players for it.
Mm.
So it doesn't make a difference who's going to come in.
How do you feel about this one? When the coach gets sacked, and so the media's been saying, you know, like you're saying, Michael, like,
when are you going to go?
They're asking that constantly, and they're just having fights. Like, Mick Malthouse is a great example. And then he finally steps away. And then he gets a job back in the media he's talking about, no, what Nathan Buckley's not doing right is this and this.
Yeah,
and
yeah, no, like, that's horrible.
That's just a bit rich.
Yeah, no, like, that's horrible.
I don't want to hear that from you.
Yeah, but Malthouse is slightly just a little bit of a cunt. And so that's what doesn't help him with everything that he does.
Well, there was a meeting in the mines this week, the reunion that we all wanted. No, it wasn't Guns N' Roses or the Beatles. It was Mick Malthouse, Eddie McGuire, Nathan Buckley back together to say farewell to Swanee. They gave him the 16 stubby salute.
Yep.
Are they his dual adoptive parents? Is that why? You're not my real dad
dad. Yeah. How awkward would that have been for Nathan Buckley just to go, I don't want this old fuckhead here?
Yeah, definitely.
He thinks he should still be coach. He thinks that we're in the middle of a mini dynasty.
Oh, well, actually, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely on the money because Malthouse said, absolutely I would have stayed. There are a lot of people there at Collingwood who wanted me to stay on. But bear in mind, this is on the day of the tribute to the wonderful career of Dane Swan. He's gone out tragically with an injured foot.
No, make it about you, Mick.
Surprising that he went to make it about him.
Yeah,
it's very un-Malthouse.
Wear that little hat.
Yeah.
But if Nathan had gone to the football club and said, look, the club's running terrifically and it's been a record-breaking year for a number of wins, make it happen a year later. Well, of course I would have stayed on. That's the most obvious thing. Now, let me pay respect to Dane Swan.
Yeah, yeah.
God.
So did you see them sitting beside each other?
It was so awkward. And I also saw him leave.
He left early.
And that was
Mod's house left early.
Yeah, it was the worst footage you could see because everyone's still up on the panel. Eddie's got the, like, red face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was wearing his
the
red
excited
mask.
Red face. Yeah, yeah. Excited
the happy
purple
red face.
Head. Yeah.
Not the other one that we saw then. And Mick was, like, doing the old person ducking out early from a movie.
No, it was really weird watching him leave.
But just seeing those two sit beside each other was like the person who didn't get the rose at The Bachelor. Just having to awkwardly sit beside him and just go, I fucking hate you, mate.
Oh,
you fucking
so
kill me.
Dane Swan, was it an Eddie Maguire PR move or was it a Dane Swan request? Like, how
it wouldn't
does
have been Dane
happen?
Swan. Dane Swan doesn't seem like that kind of dude. He hates the media limelight. And I thought it was a great press conference. But what about like Alan Tovey and Brent McCaffer both retired during the same week? They're both premiership players, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So where do they? What they have theirs out of dumpster out the back? Like fucking weird. What happened to them?
I don't know what kind of attention they did. They had a banner today.
Oh, did
saying,
they?
You know, farewell.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's nice. That's thoughtful.
I don't know if Swanee was on that banner, but at least the other two were.
Did you hear? I can't.
And that's what they said. Sorry, they said to what's his name and thingamajig. Well done. We heard you played with us.
To Alan Doovey. Well done.
Maybe this was blowback from. I think I heard a couple of weeks ago that Dane Swan had been told that he wasn't going to get another game, and he heard. Via text message, is that right?
Oh no, that was Travis Cloke.
Okay,
Travis
right.
Cloke.
Yeah,
did you hear that?
No.
Yeah.
So he got dropped. He's been dropped a couple of times this season, and he got told via text message from Nathan Buckley, bit of a text going, "Hey, you're not in the side this week,
or the week after that."
Yeah, sad face gun,
beer.
Yeah, beer. Yeah.
Well, so this was a few weeks ago.
Oh, no, I think it was earlier in the season, but I think Travis was a bit like, you could probably tell me face to face.
Yeah, sure.
Was how I appreciate that. Or on Instagram.
That's a phone call.
Or yeah.
Snapchat? I mean,
yeah.
With one of those funny filters? Yeah. That would have been much better.
Yeah. Snapchat with the dog face.
Yeah, with the tongue coming out.
Or a reindeer.
You're not playing. Here comes the tongue.
Did you see the footage? Speaking of Trav, I mean, rarely bring him up. Actually,
yeah,
he was clunking marks today. He actually did pretty well.
He did okay.
He did okay.
He had a spread in the Herald Sun today.
I did?
Trav, yeah. It was football players and their motorbikes.
Oh, fuck.
So it had Trav. And there's quite a few footballers, which I would have thought as a football club, you'd be like, please don't become a paraplegic. Just don't do that. So Trav was on his hog, which remember he bought
like
a couple of years ago.
Every Collingwood supporters' Tinder profile picture.
This is a picture of them on their hog.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't they have clauses? Didn't Juddy say in his contract there were clauses saying don't go skiing and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like to do certain dangerous acts like no Muay Thai kickboxing.
Yeah. No. What's it called? Base jumping.
Yeah, but I'm surprised motorbikes aren't on that list. But I suppose where do you draw the line?
But also, like, what's Brody Grundy supposed to do? He's just a tall dude who just gets to work on a Vespa.
Well, he's on a scooter, yeah. He's like
what's he supposed to do? But just because it's a pink Vespa.
But he's such
I mean, that doesn't mean he can't ride it. He's just an odd cat.
Only two wheels, Adam.
He's
only two wheels.
Yeah. A 6'8" dude on a car on a motorbike like that, he looks like a clown. Like, he looks like a toddler getting about on a little bike.
Yeah, but what's your point? He's just got to get to the club, man.
Yeah, true.
Just because it's a pink Vespa.
He was very good today as well.
He's an odd cat.
Hey, speaking of odd cats, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was talking about Trav. So I was searching through the web this week and I came across a clip. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was about the time when Trav's got done for the glove.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And so Hutchie was on the Sunday footy show.
Oh, God.
And he was showing the advantage the glove gives you. Did you see this footage?
No.
So you got Lloydie there with the footy and Hutchie holds the holds up, you know, one hand, right hand glove, and chucks them the ball and clunk.
It sticks.
Literally sticks.
Yeah.
And then they tried it with a soccer ball, so they go with a normal hand, obviously, unless you're like, you know, LeBron, you can't pick up the ball with one hand. Throw the soccer ball at you, bang, sticks.
Wow.
It's a Nerf glove.
Well, yeah, like it properly was like just a magnet. And then that's obviously why Travis clunking them that week. And then they went, suspicious.
That's amazing. So what you're saying now is the Sunday footy show is like Mythbusters.
Yeah.
Is what I'm seeing.
But it's amazing.
Hutchie's like an actual investigator.
Yeah. Oh, they're going hard. So did you reckon they paid for the
glove? What did Purple say about it?
Yeah, well, that's the big thing, isn't it?
But it's amazing that I know that, well, luckily that glove is actually illegal because it is a horrific advantage.
Yeah, but it almost saves the guy's career.
Just put fucking sticky tape on your hands.
No, but why can't you put like
the razor.
Remember in... when you're in primary school or even early high school, when you put PVA glue on your hand, delicious. You peel that off. Oh. How good was that?
But I actually never thought that it was the stickiness that was the issue. It was just that it was the next generation of the glove that he was previously wearing. I didn't realise it actually had different...
Extra like, stickiness, yeah.
It didn't have different components.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that was the issue. I imagine that if that glove has that all of them have that.
Well, yeah, I've always been curious, do they actually have stickiness to them? And I've got vague memories.
Well, they put a on their hands. So, you know, surely it can't be better than that. Like, it has to be on a par with that.
Actually, talking of stickiness, maybe... You know how players will take their glove off when they have a shot for goal? Because maybe with the drop of the ball...
Oh, the drop doesn't come out of the hand properly.
So maybe that must be one of the reasons why they take it off.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And then maybe the dudes who take their mouth guard off and put in their shorts, maybe there's some kind of stickiness on their mouth guard that they don't want to...
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. If they've got, like, orange juice in the mouth guard...
Hey, you talked about weird cats, right?
Yeah.
He's not a weird cat. He's a fine, upstanding human being.
He's a cool cat.
Yeah, but he's doing something that you find very unique for a footballer. Very unique for a footballer. Alex Rance.
Oh, yeah.
He's opening a school.
Oh, good on him.
Hey, kiddies. You got your kiddies?
Yeah. Send them to Alex Rance High School.
Send them to Alex Rance High.
Yeah. Parent-teacher interviews.
There you go. Oh, let's all be topless.
Richmond have a school. Inside Richmond, they actually have a school. Do you know this?
I've got a feeling I do, yeah.
Transitional Indigenous school that they have there.
Yeah.
So maybe he's taking lead from there, but why wouldn't Alex Rance have a school? Have two.
What would it teach, though? Just being handsome in the back line, how to be a gun, how to never win a final.
Might be a religious school. He's a religious man.
He's a religious man, isn't he?
It's a football academy. I believe they're actually going to call it the academy. And so him and two business partners have rented space for two classrooms in Essendon, which will be ready for the start of next year's school year. They're close to appointing their first teacher, and they have access to an oval and gym. So you...
His maths like this, 25i. 35i.
I reckon maths.
40.
Yeah. 35i.
But also,
I reckon maths would just be your six times
table. Was there.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Any kid who loves his footy knows his six
times.
It's not
an umpire's. It's not umpire's academy. Surely that's where the six times table comes.
No, but
really
any kid who loves his footy knows his six times table. 16-6 is 96.
The students will be year 11 and 12, and they'll graduate with
You know who else is coming down there? Ricky Nixon.
Victorian Certificate of Applied Learning. So I don't know if that's an official VCE, or it's more like maybe a kind of a TAFE kind of course. Would that be right? I'm not totally sure.
Yep.
But there's a little bit of a quote here from Alex, and I can kind of see where people are coming from. See, he's tried many things in life, like pilot training, designing phone apps, working in a real estate office.
Who else? Angus Mumfries does pilot training.
Oh, really?
Remember, Paddy Ryder didn't know what to do in Adelaide during his time off, but Angus Mumfries was doing he was a bit of a pilot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, during the suspension, of course.
Yeah.
Here's Alex Rance. My problem has never been coming up with the ideas. My problem is, okay, that's done. What's next?
Good.
And people having to say to me, hang on, come back. We're not finished yet.
It doesn't sound very conducive to a school. You're halfway through the school year and you're like, where's Alex gone? He's gone to make another app.
Pilot training. He's 33,000 feet up. Right, that's it. Nothing to do now.
I should have learnt the landing bit. Can I just ask... Does that mean anyone can open a school? Like, are we allowed to...
It begs those questions, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't realise. Well, I guess you have a working with children's check, and then what else is there?
Yeah, fuck, I'd love to open my own school.
Well, I wonder that. I imagine...
Just an arsehole supporter school.
There would have to be some kind of government regulations that you would fit in. I mean, charter school essentially kind of privately funded schools. Isn't that the word for it?
Charter school?
Yeah.
What's a charter school?
Well, maybe it's more the American term. Maybe we don't have it here. I don't know.
John, you're American?
John Oliver talked about it. But I think there are privately funded schools. So, but I think you'd have to probably fit in with some kind of government regulation.
Is this a co-educational experience?
That's a good question. I'm skimming through the article. Talk amongst yourself.
Do you want to send a kid to a Richmond school? Like, it's just the kid's going to come home sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
gonna,
true.
You know, go, school ends at the end of August.
I reckon.
It never goes through September. That's just disappointing.
Centrally located because of pubs, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah, like their school's results are like really, really good, like every 30 years.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them, they're like,
And people only want to go there because they've got the best school song.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true. And the principal says next year is going to be our best school year.
Yeah.
It's not, mate.
There's a 300-year-old man over the loudspeaker going, I'm the principal. That's my take. A bit of news from the Bombers this week from the CIS trial.
Hmm.
Yeah. Mm.
Court of Arbitration for Sport, which is our favourite court here on this show.
Great.
They put out a few quotes. One interesting one.
Hang on. Why are we seeing these transcripts?
I'm not sure. Has it been released under some kind of Information Act or something?
It's good that it's never died off. Like, I think that this could go for another couple of years.
It will never die off until, I don't know what they want, James Heard to do like a 17-part special where he actually just opens his whole life up and lies down on the floor and cries with Oprah or something.
Well, they talked about Hurdy in these this Court of Arbitration for Sport. The lawyer's saying that he was too squeaky clean.
A casting director was trying to cast James Heard and the suggestion was that Jimmy Stewart play the role, knowing James Heard... The director, knowing James Heard, would think he's a little bit too abrasive. He's not clean enough. So Jimmy Stewart is scumbag compared to James Heard.
Yeah.
It's the worst analogy ever.
Well, it's topical.
Use Ryan Gosling. You know, say someone. People are just as likely to think they're saying Elf Stewart. And then they're like, what flame and heck, peptides.
we can complete the quote. And then the panel said, who did James Stewart play for? Who's he? He was a NAB rising star in 1923. So they've kind of released a few little trinkets, but nothing too groundbreaking. Talk about maybe a cardiologist for a senior player suffering from a heart condition called Doc Reed to talk about the supplements. There's some urine retesting. Adam put his hand up for that.
Yep. Hang on, so a player had heart issues and just like, hey, Doc, what are we taking? He's like, don't worry about it. Dankey's onto it.
Doc Reed comes out of this situation... gets through it all pretty seamlessly. But to me, he's now like the doc from Back to the Future. Like, he's not an actual doctor. He's like a professor doctor who's like making crazy adventures.
Yeah.
Doing test tube stuff. And
he's got his flux capacitor.
Yeah, and he's still on the books. And they just get another real doctor in and just keep calling him doctor and give him a stethoscope.
I think he was one of those dudes who put his hand up to say, stop it.
Mate, he wrote a letter.
He wrote a letter.
It was full of misspellings.
He wrote a letter. But unfortunately, what happened is that it got there, and then the Essendon dude, they bashed the postman under our advice.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, famous letter.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up here if the finals have been announced yet. I mean, by the time
you're
listening to this,
they definitely have.
The actual locations, though, and
there's a Thursday night game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going on the
So Hawthorn and Geelong are playing on the Saturday night at the MCG.
Oh, really?
That'll be relaxing for everybody.
There's no Sunday game.
We should move that to Skilled, I reckon. Keep the tradition.
Yep. No, I like it. The Saturday game, I believe, is GWS and Sydney at ANZ Stadium. I believe the Friday is West Coast and the Doggies. No, hang on. What's the Thursday night? No, is West Coast. No, who's Adelaide play? Adelaide North on Friday night.
Yep.
See, by the time everyone hears this, they'll know this, but I'm just making it up. So Thursday is West Coast. Oh, no, I fucked it up.
West Coast and Doggies.
On Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adelaide North Friday.
Well, we've really just given you a tantalising taste, haven't we?
What's going on? We've got two weeks. I am the game breaker. Call me the buzz. Can I just say, though, how disappointing, you know, when you're excited about the year, you get to the finals, and then there's a week off, and you're like, what the fuck have you done wrong?
You can thank Brad Scott for that.
Because he rested so many... Isn't it Rossi Lyon?
Mark Harvey did it too, like years ago.
Well, you know, on the Outer Sanctum podcast, we call the... when Geelong plays North Melbourne, we call it the Mary-Kate and Ashley Cup, right?
Yeah.
And we had an insider tell us that they were looking forward... An insider at North... was going to tell Brad Scott this year. If he beat Chris, then they were going to present a small trophy.
That's cool.
That's great.
Kate and Ashley holding it. Hasn't happened yet. So that's what I'm looking forward to in season 2017. That's something we can all barrack for, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then
for
someone can step in and be Uncle Jesse. And
Well, I don't know if you...
Cut it out.
I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's actually a Scott triplet. They're not just twins.
They just don't
talk about it.
Yep.
They absolved him in the womb. They bashed the fuck out of him in the womb.
Now, can we talk? Do you guys? You guys obviously think the games are too long today. Hawthorn supporters, you're on edge. Games are too long.
No.
Chris Judd has called for shorter football games.
I want more.
You want more? You want longer? You want double?
Yeah, I would go double. I like it.
You want like a test footy game?
Yeah.
Over 5 days.
Yep.
And no rotations.
Okay.
Yeah, just 18 players.
Mm, that's good.
War of attrition.
War of attrition.
Yep. That's how they should decide a draw. They just keep playing double the amount of time.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Play well,
our theory is a grand final replay happens on the day.
Oh.
So you go again. Brilliant. So whoever fucking lasts wins.
So Juddy wants to take about 5 minutes off each quarter. Is that right?
Yes. So he said game's about 20 minutes shorter, which I don't think is ridiculous, but I think it's probably a bit much. Maybe just... Because isn't the NAB Challenge a little bit shorter? Maybe they should be that length.
Yeah, I've got a feeling NAB Challenge is maybe
20 minutes.
Juddy's gone crazy with all this R&R on his plate. Why does he want it to be short? He's got somewhere to go? What's he like?
Well, he probably has got something.
This is the one thing I look forward to all week. Don't make it shorter. Make it longer.
Yeah,
that's a fair point.
Maybe for blowouts. Cut time off.
Do you think a mercy
rule? There should be a mercy.
A little bit. So
that Richmond game, absolutely. They should be able to call it. They should be able to go like, we're done.
Yeah, but the Tigers were just experimenting. They're going to play finals next year, so they'll be fine.
Maybe if it gets like 100 points to kind of go, we'll play the last one 10 minutes, you know.
Don't stress about it.
Or do what you do in netball where you throw the bibs up in the air and whatever you catch, you play that position. So all of a sudden you've got...
Is that what happens?
Yeah. So, you know, say the goal shooter's had a great day out, but you're up by 100.
Yeah, yeah.
You make her go play centre.
That's a big lead in netball, by the way.
It's a lot, yeah. So, I was in a really good team, just saying.
So they do that in the ANZ league?
Vixen's
away ahead.
They love it. Chuck it up in the air. Why not?
Talk about here, Juddy being touted as a potential AFL commissioner. He'd be good on the board.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Respectful man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shall we wrap it up shortly, Adam?
Yes. Why don't we?
It'd be remiss of us not to talk about Carlton.
Why?
You know, actually, watching SR, I was just staying at Emma before the show.
Mm. That was horrific, by the way, Carlton's loss.
It was great. It was terrific. It was fantastic.
It wasn't fun.
But also...
It was fun for Essendon.
It was quite nice.
Well, still Essendon won the wooden spoon, which makes me slightly less sad, but still sad.
Rumours going around that Joby's going to be coming back.
Oh,
Walsh has said he's going to come back.
Okay.
I want to say rumours. It came from the coach.
Is he?
Yep.
With better coffee.
You're good like that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Definitely. The cafe at Windy at, what do you call it?
At Tullamarine.
Tullamarine.
Going off.
Yeah.
It was actually quite nice at the end of the game, I thought, for the Essendon fans, because they spent a lot of time down there in the kind of goal square with the cheer squad and the like.
Yep.
And they've been through a tough year. And the year ended on a nice little moment. And they breathed a sigh of relief and go, we've gone through 23 weeks of this stuff, and we can now try and get our team back and, you know, focus on 2017.
Yep.
And they're going to come back fitter than ever.
Oh, well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They'd all have the best pre-seasons we've ever seen.
Flying.
Running against the Bulls.
That was the worst fucking game I've ever seen.
Really?
It was disgusting.
Did you go?
No.
Oh. Oh, well, they needed you there.
No, it was an Essendon home game. I didn't want to go. And I also thought that we'd probably lose, and we did. So
Do you go often?
I hate footy. Yeah, I go quite a bit.
Well, okay. I'm fascinated why you wouldn't go to an Essendon home game.
Well, just because my membership doesn't cover it, and I refuse to. I'm not paying for a ticket. I mean, I'm beyond that. Like, as Australia's number one podcaster, I would expect, you know,
freebies
in a box.
Yeah.
Expecting there to be in the junk time box.
Given the,
I suppose, actually. Yeah. You guys are going to have a massive finals campaign.
Oh, it's going to be huge.
You're not taking the week off like everyone else.
Yeah.
You're going to have your big
live
event.
Show.
Everyone's going to turn out. Yep. You're both in cracking form.
Fev and Bomber Thompson. It's going to be
a ripping
afternoon.
Massive.
Should we go through tips maybe for the first week of the finals?
Sure.
Does Adam actually know who's playing who?
I've got it right here in front of me.
Well, yeah. Carlton are playing...
University playing Fitzroy. Down at Lakeside Oval. So, Swans, Giants at ANZ. We're going to presume maybe at this stage...
Swannies, that's going to be a ripping game, though. If GWS get on a roll, they're a very good team. Mm. Very good team. But yeah, I'll say Swans.
I'm going to go Swannies.
Where is it? ANZ.
Well, we're not totally sure quite.
No, it is.
It
is actually, okay. I think because it's the...
because it's to Sydney.
Yeah, it's the Battle of the Bridge.
AFL must be wrapped with this shit, though. They must be loving it.
Yeah.
The perfect final for them to get. They can showcase it.
Oh, there's one game in Melbourne, isn't there?
Mm.
Your game.
I'm going to say Sydney.
Yep.
But GWS is not a real team. Is that controversial?
No, not at all.
What do you mean by that?
I feel like they're one of those, like, put-together boy bands.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
right.
But Stevie J's been fantastic. I would have liked to see Stevie J play against... I would have liked to see GWS playing against Geelong.
So are you saying GWS are like Bardo?
Yeah.
Or Scandalous?
Probably more like Bardo.
Okay.
Yeah, Stevie J, Sophie Monk.
So if they win it this year, it's tainted. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying, you know, vote 1-800 whatever you see which team you want to win.
Cats, Hawks. I don't really need. I think Don't need to say what I think.
Hawks. Hawks by 10 goals.
Oh, why would you say that?
Because
such
it's
an
fun.
Asshole.
Yeah, Hawks. Hawks, easy, in a canter.
Fifth versus eighth, Adelaide versus North.
Adelaide.
Adelaide.
Yeah, North Adelaide up, over there too.
Yeah.
And then also Eagles against Doggies in Eagles.
Well, Tom Boyd was injured this afternoon, which means that, you know...
another one.
Yeah, Footscray have to replace, like, no goals a game. So how are they going to do that? So I think West Coast could win that.
Yeah.
Are they going to have a team? They're going to put out...
Well, no, like,
they're going to have to recruit
mate, someone's
going to
choke on a croissant on the flight over.
It's, like, they've it's got be the fucking... worst luck, haven't they?
It's yeah, been horrific. Dude,
it's been hazard. Terrible.
How sad would it be, and oh. Sorry, Doggies fan, if they won it without Bob Murphy?
Be the
that
worst.
Would be just,
oh,
it would just dude. Be horrific, wouldn't it?
It would be horrific. Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm going to go for the Bulldogs women's team.
Yep.
Maybe that's just got me
for
over
Bob,
the line right
yeah.
there for Bob. Yeah.
Because he's playing for them.
No, he wouldn't okay. get a game for them,
yeah.
to be honest. But because I really like everything that they're doing down there.
Yeah, and him, and it would just be sad. But anyway, West Coast.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't looked through footballers in real life.
Oh, who we got?
We've got a couple, I think. Let me get loaded up here. Jeez, one of the favourite segments of all time, and yeah. I forgot to bring it up.
People love this shit.
Well, maybe we only have a couple this week. Here we go, from Josh. Back in June, I was at a bar in Richmond watching Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Fev was there, punching darts and breaking hearts.
That's awesome.
Sinking a few cold ones at noon on a Wednesday.
I love that.
It.
That's great.
It's classic Fev.
It's classic
Did he
Fev.
Have the pink dildo on? Do we know that?
He doesn't go anywhere without it.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to recognise him?
Well, that's a very
I'm
good
impressed
point.
He was drinking. Is he a breakfast show host now?
He is, but not. I don't think
that
back then he
was. That might have been pre
was.
Then, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, good
so
one.
So he's just chilling out. But also, if he's been up since 4...
Well, it's night time.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
before bed. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, here we go. From Scott. I don't remember if I read these. Maybe you read them, Adam. Ran into Sam Mitchell at Breakfast Buffet with his wife. He was at the dessert bar loading up on waffles with heaps of caramel sauce and lollies. It got to the point where his wife said, "Oh, my God, I have to take a photo of that."
It's classic Sam Mitchell, though, isn't it? He's just so likable.
Wasn't
with
him.
His waffles and his.
It
lollies.
Wasn't for him. There's no way he was eating that.
Really?
That was definitely. He was putting it in the like wrapping it in the serviette and taking it home.
Oh, taking it home.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing.
Okay. Here we go.
As a parent, I'll take your advice.
Talked about Mason Cox last week.
I won't hear a bad word said about Sam Mitchell.
Oh, he's a.
Love him.
Do you?
Love everything about him.
I think it's only Hawthorn supporters that can like him because he's real.
Everyone says how dirty he is. Yeah. All the other, like
he's
everyone
filthy.
Else, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you could have, had him. He wanted to be picked up by anyone. Any team could have had him.
Yeah.
But you
that's
know,
good.
He went bad at the hard way.
The extractor, mate. Extracting the waffles.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about our live show. That's what we're going to reiterate our live show. Sunday, September 4 at 4 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe, corner of Little Collins and Exhibition Street in town. Tickets can be found at trybooking.com. Special guest, Brendan Favola, who's going to be punching darts and breaking hearts. And Mark Bomber-Thompson.
Yep.
And also the Outer Sanctum podcast. The website is outersanctum.com.au. And then how do we find Eon FM?
Eon's on, it's a digital station. So we're on Eon every Saturday morning, 10 till 11.
And also can be downloaded through iTunes. But all the information there at outersanctum.com.au and also, you know, the description of the people on the show and events as well. So check that out.
Yeah, and a big shout out to Rowan who stopped me in the street yesterday and said he's a big fan of Junk Time and I told him to fuck off. So all good.
Did you say fuck off Dad or just fuck
yeah,
off?
Yeah, no, just fuck off everyone. I don't like being spoken to in public.
We're going to head off, Spanner. Thank you very much, special guest. Emma Race, go Hawks.
Go Blues. Fuck, I hate footy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.